Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday afternoon, February the 18th, 2012. Deborah Reyes Dana is the speaker of this service, teaching on women's sexuality. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And so if there's something to do with blood, then there's a very good chance that if you're thinking about, well, is this a sin? Am I going to open myself up to demons? If blood is involved in it, there's a good chance that you could open yourself up to demons. And you get that when you read this. And so, you know, a lot of the things, you know, if you look at satanic worship, there's blood involved. So, you know, the thing with the whole piercing and tattoos, a lot of people have a hard time with that and stuff. It's like, well, there's breaking of the skin. There's a blood covenant that's made. You know, now, does that mean that if you have that, that you're, like, cursed and you're going to hell and all this other, you know, it's like, no. And one of the things I want to say, too, is that in all of this, that I have seen people in all of the years major on the minors, okay? And I've seen people think they see somebody else do something or whatever, and they think, okay, I have to do this to get free. If the Lord doesn't tell you to do it, don't do it. Okay? My sister, and I've told this story before, when she first got saved, she got a bumper sticker after she got saved that says, SHIT happens. She thought it was funny, she stuck it on her car. You know, that's what she did. Well, I didn't say anything to her. But she took her car to this mechanic, and there was this guy there that really kind of creeped her out, and he was like, hey, I like your bumper sticker. And all of a sudden, she's like, I don't want that on there anymore. You know? And it was like the Lord told her in his time. I've seen people have certain things in their life that they felt like were idols, or somebody had told them that it was an idol, and they should destroy it, they should burn it, whatever. Well, then they go out and they think I should do this, and they have this big bonfire and they burn everything. And then afterwards, they're like, why did I do that? And they get mad at God because they feel like, well, this person told me I should do this, and they destroy all this stuff. And if you don't hear from the Lord to do something like that, then it's a religious spirit that's telling you to do it. And you don't want to trade one demon for another one. It's not a good trade. All of this, that's the thing I love about deliverance so much, is that you can't do this by a formula. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. The anointing breaks the yoke. If you try to come up with a formula, you're in the Catholic Church doing, you know, stuff, and you've got the movie The Exorcism out there. Okay? And you end up with trading demons because it's only Jesus. Somebody said this, I think it was one of the camp meetings here. You look through the Bible, every miracle that Jesus did in the New Testament was done in the Old Testament. Feeding of the 5,000, there was feeding lots of people, multiplying food, there was raising the dead, all of it except casting out demons. Only thing that's in the New Testament that's not in the Old Testament. That's what he came to do, is to set us free. And only he can do it. So, I know that was a rabbit, but as I'm talking through these sexual sins, I don't want people to get like, you know, oh my gosh, I have to do this, and she said so. You know, there's some things that when I first heard about them, you know, and I'll tell you when I get to them, it's like, and I was like, that can't be, you know, whatever. And I had to wrestle with it. And then sometimes, some of them took years before I finally got to the place where it was like, okay, this is what God has for me. And if you are not convinced of it, I'm fine with that. You go study it out. This is your walk with the Lord, okay? And that's where it's got to come. I'm just sharing you my interpretation of what the Word has said and what I've seen to help people be free, okay? So please, don't take any of this as condemnation or that I'm saying you have to do all these things, okay? All of it has to be by the Spirit and by the anointing. Okay, so Here's the biggie that a lot of people just don't know. If I would say, okay, 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor... Wait. It says homosexuals nor sodomites. So does that mean are homosexuals sodomites? Or are they not? Because I thought sodomy was homosexuality. That's what most people think, right? Merriam-Webster. Doc told me this one time. He says, I've heard a lot of people argue with the Bible, but nobody argues with the dictionary. Merriam-Webster's definition of sodomy, and you can find others. I had to look this up in like 3 or 4 different ones because I didn't believe it. Anal or oral copulation with a member of the same or opposite sex. Also copulation with an animal. That's oral sex. You look at the fact that this country has had a president that has had oral sex, and look at the timing of when homosexual marriages and things became a lot more open in this country, too. The same spirit. Oral sex is sodomy. And, some people are like, yes, now I don't have to do it. You know, for me, honestly, I was the kind of person where I had told somebody asked me this years before, and I said, well, oral sex is a sin, I'm going to hell. You know, I mean, that's the lifestyle I was in until all of a sudden I realized this, and I found this out through deliverance from this demon that was trying to choke me to death. It's a horrible thing. So just something that if it's something that you deal with or whatever, you may need to do some research on this. Look it up in some dictionaries. But... just the fact that it says, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, I mean, there's a difference. It's also in 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, it talks about the law is not made for the righteous, but for the lawless and the insubordinate. And that's where it says fornicators, nor sodomites, kidnappers. And it's going to be in different versions. They're going to use different words for it and translate it different ways. But that is what it is. So that's one that I wanted to talk about. Here's a tricky one. I wasn't sure how to kind of do this, but I think I really need to kind of read this scripture and then talk about it. It's Deuteronomy 22 through 29. If a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. Makes sense, adultery. If a man happens to meet in town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of the town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she was in a town and did not scream for help, and the man, because he violated another man's wife, you must purge the evil from among you. This is talking about a girl she's not necessarily married to somebody, but she's engaged to someone and everything's pretty much there and they're set and it's pretty much like Mary was to Joseph. You know, that this is kind of an agreement. And so they're saying that if this young woman is found with somebody else having sex in town, that she's held responsible too. Because they're saying if she didn't scream for help, then obviously she was giving her consent. Okay? But if out in the country a man happens to meet a young woman pledged to be married and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die. Do nothing to the woman. She has committed no sin deserving death. This case is like that of someone who attacks and murders a neighbor. For the man found the young woman out in the country, and though the betrothed woman screamed, there was no one to rescue her. We need to teach our young girls to fight. That if somebody tries to do something to them sexually, they have a right to fight. And we need to be able to say no. We have a responsibility, we have a right, and we have that's what we can do. We can say no. We can fight. And a lot of times what I've heard is that rapists will try to find somebody that they feel like is going to be intimidated and is not going to put up a fight and is going to maybe feel sorry for them or feel afraid. And so it's like they're not going to fight back. And so I just want to encourage you that you have the power. You can fight. You can scream. Now, if something happens and you have said no and you've said, I don't want this. Maybe you're a little child. Maybe something's happened to you. It's not your fault. You have no blame whatsoever. It's totally his fault. That's what that says. I thought this was kind of funny. It doesn't sound funny, but I have a weird sense of humor, I guess. Because rape is never funny. And so as I say this, I don't want to, if somebody here's been raped, I don't want to make fun of that in any way. Okay, please hear me. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, but I, like I said, if a man happens to meet a virgin who's not pledged to be married, and he rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver, which is what they would do for a bride back then. He must marry the young woman, for he's violated. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. Back then, women had no security whatsoever. You know, and if you did not please your husband, if you weren't good enough, he could divorce you and you had no employment options. This is saying if a guy rapes you and whatever, he has to take care of you for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter how nasty you are to him, what you do, he can never divorce you. That's where I think it's funny. So at the same time, still, it's not his fault. And God says, you know, there should be no shame for that whatsoever. He would be held responsible. Either he's got to take care of you, or he's stoned to death if he belongs to someone else. I wish I could remember the numbers for this, and if I'd had time to research this out and put a nice PowerPoint together for you and all of that, I would have. But they had some people come to the college again and talk to everybody there about pornography, and they had a whole bunch of statistics up there about the numbers and the percentages and stuff like that. And they had a bunch of quotes up there about, you know, pornography and stuff. And at the end, they said all of those quotes were from women. So in a crowd like this, I would not be surprised if there are people here that may struggle with pornography. I can tell you that for me, that was something that I struggled with. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." I think we all know that scripture. It's a hard thing. It's a bondage. The thing is that when you have, like, it's talking about all these chemicals and stuff that are released, you know. So here you've got all this stuff going on, and when you have sex, you look at these images, those things are burned into you. They're, you know, that stuff that's released, it's like it causes this connection with this person. And so to just all of a sudden not think about that, I mean, these are powerful images to overcome. This is not an easy fight. None of this is easy. And so I would caution you, you know, I know there are some women who don't want sex, and so they'll tell their husband, "We'll just go look at the porn." There are Christian women and Christians that tell that is considered okay. You just go take care of yourself. Huh? Doctors. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, he's just got to release his whatever, or, you know, it's like, okay, I've got to get rid of this pent up energy or something. No, it doesn't work that way. It stirs it up. It keeps it alive. And you never get that from the Lord. You've got to cry out. You've got to get desperate. The Lord will come through, but it's like, I've got to cry out to him. This is warfare. Some of this stuff doesn't come easy. And Satan doesn't want you free. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's definitely in here. Yeah. Yep. And that's part of that idea that that we try to protect ourselves, you know, and saying, no, okay, I don't want this. And it comes from that self-preservation where, like, you just go have sex someplace else because I'm going to protect myself. And yeah, that's, where is that? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes, they are. That's why I can't read them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even the Christian romances. Because what it does is no guy can be like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're never going to find one like that. And how many of us want to be compared to an airbrushed Playboy model? We're never going to look like that, you know? But we expect some guy to look like, you know, Buff, you know, or whatever his name is. But yeah, that scripture you were talking about, it's 1 Corinthians 7:3-5. Let the husband render his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a lot of the scriptures on sex, because it goes back to that whole thing of the fact that sex is for my pleasure, for what I want, you know, and so I'm going to get what I want from this. You know, and once it gets twisted like that, it's what God wants. This is something that God has put in. He's made us this way so that we can experience, you know, a pleasure. We can experience a symbol of that oneness that He wants with us as the bride of Christ. You know, He wants us to have that image, that beautiful allegory. And Satan, of course, hates that, so he's going to try to twist it, you know. And in the marriage, you know, we have a right to say, you know, if our husband says, submit to your husband as unto the Lord, if he's asking you to do something that is against the word of God, you have a moral responsibility to say no. You can't get up there in front of God and say, well, I sinned against you because he said. It's like, it says, should we obey man or should we obey God? Yes, it says we're supposed to obey the laws of the land, but there's times when the laws of the land go against what God's laws are. We have to disobey the laws of the land too. God has to be the first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So that was there. I want to talk to you about also, some of you don't know, and I don't have a whole lot on these, but incubus and succubus, these are spirits that will have sex with people. Okay, I believe the incubus has sex with women and the succubus has sex with men. All right, so if you're having really vivid dreams, if you feel like there's somebody there, you know, people who have had loved ones pass away and then this person comes back to them, that's not their person. Okay? Be very careful with that. You know, if there's somebody that's not alive, you know, and you're having sex with them, it's a demon. And the Bible talks about, you know, the sons of God coming down and having sex with the women, the daughters on earth, and, you know, not good things happening. So, you know, just want to kind of let you know that that's something if you're having sexual dreams. Yeah, unfortunately, they're also like, one of them, I think it's Incubus, is a rock band. So, huh? Yeah, yeah. So you might see somebody walking, and it's like so weird now, because I remember seeing somebody in Walmart one time with a t-shirt that said Incubus on it, and I was like, do you know what you're wearing? So, but, you know, that's what this, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, too, especially if you're awake and it's going on, then that's, you know, that's for sure that there's something that's going, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was going to go into that too. Yes, there's masturbation. A lot of times that's something that's also been taught that is a way that you can just kind of relieve the pressure and or whatever. And so, you know, people are, that's something that a lot of people struggle with is masturbation. And I think something that comes along with that is kind of this narcissism, sort of a self-love, and you can actually, you know, have people that fall in love with themselves, and it's like a self-worship. Okay? And I mean, these are things, who wants to talk about this and admit, I've got this problem, I'm in love with myself, and I like to have sex with myself more than I like sex with my husband. I mean, you know, you can't talk about that stuff in the church. And so that's why I'm up here talking about these things and why I asked to not be video live at this point. Because I just... yeah. It's like, well, I'll just have you sign a confidentiality. If they put on video, you know, sign confidentiality thing. Putting black things over my eyes. No, God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Because it's the same spirit. Yeah. So, and that's a lot of times the, I think it's a catamite. Is something that, is, and that was the word I was trying to remember before. The Romans used to keep young boys, as like for sex objects and stuff. And so they liked having little boys around. And so a lot of homosexuality comes through child, having sex with children. And that's how a lot of homosexuals move into this. And that's one thing I'm concerned about with legalizing the homosexual marriage is like, once we say marriage isn't between a husband and wife, where do we draw the line? What about a husband and two wives? You know, what, yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is, yeah. What about, you know, I love my dog, you know. No, I don't, I'm, you know. I don't even have a dog. But I mean, there's, you know, it's like, you know, why, there are people that, you know, used to run in some circles that were strange, and one guy, he liked to sit there and play with his dog. You know? Yeah, it was. It was very sick. You know, even at that time I knew it was sick. But, you know, I mean, where do we draw the line? And so it used to be in Rome, it used to be okay for men to have sex with young boys. And there's an organization called NAMBLA, I think it is. North American Man-Boy Love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Satan, he has no, NAMBLA, I think it was, North American Man-Boy Love. I think that's what it's called. But they're one of the ones that are promoting, you know, homosexual marriage and stuff like that. So anyway, one of the other things I wanted, in Leviticus 18, if you really want to know, I mean, this is the sexual sin chapter. Leviticus 18. A lot of them are in here. You've got talking about, most of it's dealing with, incest, which is a really big problem. Okay? And that's something that a lot of people also don't want to admit. Okay? So you've got things of incest, but then I've got to put it down here. Verse 19. Do not approach a woman to have sexual relations during the uncleanness of her monthly period. I didn't know that was wrong. I thought it was a little disgusting, but I didn't realize it was a sin. Okay? So you're not to have sex when you have your period. Verse 21. Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. That was a statue that would have its arms out like this, and they would put the babies on in the arms of this thing and then burn them alive. It's the spirit of abortion. Because especially if you put do saline abortions, I mean, it pretty much burns the baby alive. Verse 22, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. Homosexuality. 23, do not have sexual relations with an animal and defile yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relations with it. That is a perversion. So, all of those things. That's what I was saying. Some of the other ones, I've got a list here that I'm going to call out, but I do want to cover a couple other ones. One of the things I learned about, too, was the mermaids. There's a lot of movies, a lot of toys, and a lot of things about mermaids out there. And these are, if you look back into the traditional view of what a mermaid was this beautiful half-woman, half-fish that would sit on these rocks and sing, and the men would fall madly in love with her, and they would go and they would fall and they would go to their death, and she would seduce these men to their death. And that was what the mermaid was. Not a nice lady, you know. And now we've got like all these little girls wanting to be mermaids. Okay, and I've seen people, and you know, it's like gone through the whole deliverance with the mermaid. It's a very common spirit in the coasts and stuff, over Africa and stuff like that. And the spirit is called the Queen of the Coasts, is her name. Very powerful spirit. And this spirit will, if you have this spirit, does not want you to get married. So this is another one of those ones that if you've got this spirit, because it's a seducing spirit and believes that it's married to Neptune, and so does not want you to get married. So this is not something we want our little girls playing with, you know, so pray about it. I knew somebody that had this spirit, and before they got delivered from it, could not stand to eat fish. And their bed had seashells. She had seashells all over her bedroom. and she loved to swim, you know, and was like, I'm going to be a mermaid when I get, you know. And it was like after she got deliverance, it was like, whoa, you know, she just saw all the seashells everywhere that she had, you know. So masochism and sadism. We don't hear a whole lot about those things, but masochism is liking pain. You know, sometimes when we're numb, when we're hurting, it's like, you know, these girls like to cut themselves and stuff like that. Sometimes that pain will take away the emotional pain. It's like it kind of displaces it. And so you've got people that in sex like to watch other people in pain, or they like to experience pain in it. And at the same time, you've got things like sexual slaves and bondage and torture and stuff like that. I know, you know, none of you may have gone through this. Some of this may be horrifying to some of you, but some of you may have real experience with this. Or you may have ancestors that have, or something like that. But these are things that can get in there and can really, you know, mess with someone. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and definitely. Yeah, and that's what Satan does. He will twist, he'll pervert, and he says, you know, what's evil looks good, what's good looks evil, and the world is just, it's upside down. And you've got also, I think we talked about the frigidness, and then sex as self-worship. You know, when we do understand like the power that we have with our sexuality, and we know that we can get people to do things, our husbands or boyfriends or whatever, and we can get somebody to do something for us by using this, it's like, you know, if we can get somebody to fall in love with us, how many, you know, grow up thinking, I want to be the princess, I want this, you know. So many times it's like, if someone falls in love with us that much or has one of these things, it's pretty much making us an idol. And I think sometimes we don't recognize the fact that, you know, it's like those little girls that finally get the attention from the boys that they've never had before. And it's like, they end up becoming, feeling like they've got this power. And so it's kind of like, you know, oh, God doesn't want you to just because you can be like God. I mean, that's something that all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we like the power, we want the control. And so if somehow we can use our sexuality to get control of people, it's like a way of worshiping ourselves, getting other people to worship us, to honor us, to want us. You know, how bad do you want it? Mm-hmm. Masochism, yes.
The one below it.
Sadism. Mm-hmm. Sadism is liking to cause pain in other people. Yes, yeah. So you've got a lot of, you know, it's kind of like the torture and stuff like that. So, yeah. So that would be sort of a masochism where people go and have to get tattoos because they have to feel that pain. And so it's like this compulsion. You know, some people might do it because they want to honor someone or whatever. You know, there's lots of reasons why people do things. But if somebody's going to get tattoos because they want that pain, that's masochism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've got the blood covenant thing that goes on. Mm-hmm. So I've gone a lot on this. I've got a list of spirits and things that I want to cast out. If anybody wants to just kind of stand up and just go like this for a minute before we start praying all of these and coming against this stuff. Just, yep. And I do just want everybody to just remember that, you know, like I said, I may have brought up some things that are really hard, you know, emotionally for people to deal with. So I didn't do it to cause anybody discomfort or bring bad memories. I just want people to be free. So that's kind of this. So thank you for sitting through and listening to all of this. I think I'll just start with praying for all of us. Lord, I just come to you, and I just lift up these women, and I lift up this time. Lord, it is your anointing that breaks the yoke. Lord, I just ask right now that you would release angels from heaven, warring angels to fight and to battle for these women. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be here. Father, that you would be that midwife, Father, and help with the delivery. I ask for courage to be poured out on these women. Yes, Lord, grace. Father, for your love, a revelation of your love. And what I would like to do is give everybody these sins to start with. Like I said, there's got to be some repentance. So I want to give each of you a few minutes to just kind of sit down. There's people you may have had sex with that you need to break ungodly soul ties. Okay, we were talking about that bondage that when those chemicals are released, that there's not only does the Bible talk about the two being one and their souls being knit together and things like that, but there's actually chemical things. So to pray, break those ungodly soul ties with those people. It does cause a bondage with them too, and it is released in them also, and that kind of there's some other, I'm not sure if I skipped that part of the that one article, if it covered that or if I read it someplace else. And I think part of it is, yeah, I think part of what I see, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but it's that for a woman, we are a lot more vulnerable as far as once we have, you know, a guy, we can get pregnant, we've got this baby, we've got this stuff, so we are even more vulnerable in the relationship than a guy is. A guy can go and have, you know, many, many women, and he doesn't end up having so much of a tie. And in the past, it was like men would get killed off in war, and so a lot of times men would have, you know, more than one wife or something like that to kind of try to proliferate, you know, keep the race going, because there were fewer men from being killed off from stuff like that. So there's a lot of different reasons to it, but the truth is that, yes, they are just as much bonded, which is why in Proverbs it talks about don't go down to the whore's house, you know, to the wayward woman, because she will entice your soul and you will be taken down to hell. And that's all of those scriptures in Proverbs. They're not talking about women going down there. They're saying, men, be careful, because she will grab your soul and take it with you. They just may not know it. They may be trying to live in their testosterone and their pleasure, but it will do the same thing to them. It does, yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I couldn't say that. What I say with deliverance is that it doesn't hurt if you think it might be a demon to tell it to go. Okay? Because if it's not a demon and there's nothing there, nothing, you're not going to do any harm by telling something that's not there to go. Okay? So I would rather just go ahead and say go, and if anything came in, and just kind of pray that way. But I do want to give you some time to just kind of take this where you can break those soul ties, where you can get honest with the Lord, and just so if you want to sit, if you want to stand, however you want to do this, but I'm just going to give each of you some time to sit down and just let the Lord and you have it out, okay, and whatever. And during this time, too, if you are a minister here, when I first started coming and we would have deliverance services, there would be people that would have paper towels and would kind of walk through the rows and look and see if somebody really needed an extra paper towel, you know, or maybe they just needed a little bit of extra prayer. Okay, and so if you guys don't mind during this time to just kind of, I'm going to give them some time to repent on their own first, but then when I start calling the spirits out, if you could just kind of get some paper towels and walk through, and just if the Lord leads you to go pray for somebody specifically while I'm calling the things out, then if you don't mind doing that, that'd be a blessing. And if you feel like something's stirring, but it's just, you're praying and it's just not coming, look around and kind of go like this, and somebody will come to you, okay? So go ahead and sit down, take yourself a few minutes, and you want to just pass them out, too, to start with, and everybody can have one, and that way if something starts moving, if you don't need it, you don't need it, but I would hate, there's been times when it's like, I felt something moving and I didn't have a paper towel and I'm like, I don't want to snot all over myself. So, you know, this way you can at least be free. If you don't need it, that's fine. Lord, I do ask for your grace, Lord, that you would just lead each one of these women as they come to you, Father, that you would bring to their remembrance, Lord, that you would just stir up their memories. If there's anything hidden that the enemy would like to keep them from remembering, that would like to keep in the darkness, Father, I ask that you would shine your light on those places. Father, names that they of people that they may need to break soul ties with, Lord, I just ask that you would bring those names to them. Father, memories, hurts, things that they've done to others, maybe boys in middle school that were in love with them and they just treated them terribly. Father, whatever, Father, you bring these things to their minds, Father, and that you would lead them to repentance. Oh, yeah, Carla wants me to tell you how to break a soul tie. So it's pretty much, unless you want to come and do that. Okay, all right, yes. Like I said, your soul can get knitted together, and it's pretty much like anything else. You just ask the Lord, you come against it, and you say, what I'll always say is, in the name of Jesus, I break the ungodly soul tie between myself and so-and-so. And then because not only do I break that, and we can do that in the name of Jesus, just like we can say, we can ask for healing in the name of Jesus, just like we can ask for deliverance, just like we ask for anything else in the name of Jesus, okay? In His name, we break that in the Spirit, okay? And then what we do is we call our soul back from them. That part that they took, we call it back. We say, I call my soul back. And then anything of theirs, we release it back to them. Any part of them that's still in us, we send it back to them. Yep. Break the blood covenant. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll be kind of doing a lot more of the commanding and stuff too, but yeah, that's pretty much the nutshell of breaking soul ties. Thank you for, and if you can't feel like you can't forgive them, ask God to help you forgive them. But I just ask for grace for these women. Lord, you show them for this season what you want to deal with for this time. Lord, this may have just uncovered the tip of an iceberg and they're looking at it saying, oh my gosh, look at all of this. And so Lord, I come against any spirits of being overwhelmed, and Lord, I ask that you show them what you want to deal with today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. just ask that you grant repentance, Lord, as a gift from you, a precious gift, Lord. Give them that grace to face it and to give it to you, to know your love. Lord, I just ask that they would see your heart and they would release the anger, the hurt, the pain, the fear, be able to let it all go into your hands. To trust, Lord, that you are a good provider, you are a good protector. But we can't come to you halfway. It's got to be all the way. You may still be repenting, which is fine. I'm just going to start calling things out also while we're doing this. So if I call something out and you start to feel something kind of move, or you hear a strange thought in your head or something kind of like, whoa, what was that? Go with it. Repent. Say, okay, wait, something's here. And, you know, and start coming against it. You know, you can tell it to go. You can fight. You can ask, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And you know, if you feel like things are moving and something's going on, get somebody to pray for you or whatever, okay? So as I'm going through these, something may trigger, this is it, okay? And I may just keep going and calling other things out. You grab hold of what you need, okay? And you get free. In the name of Jesus, by his authority and his blood, and his anointing that breaks the yoke, I come against the spirit of fornication in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go. All sex before marriage, all fornication spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All adultery spirits, all having sex outside of marriage, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Every perverse spirit, I command it out in the name of Jesus. All perversion, go in Jesus' name. I command out the spirits of incubus and succubus, all spirits that would come in and have sex with these people of their and pretend to be other people, all dreams, sexual dreams that would overcome them. I come against all sexual obsession thoughts, all thoughts of sex that will not leave them, that just keep coming into their heads. In the name of Jesus, I command out the spirits that would come in for having sex during their periods. In the name of Jesus. Every blood-loving spirit, I command it out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of sodomy, go in the name of Jesus. All oral sex spirits, I command you to loose these people, come out of their throats in the name of Jesus, come off of their bloodlines in Jesus' name. All oral sex and sodomy, all homosexual spirits, all lesbian spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power off of these women. All masturbation spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All masturbation, go in Jesus' name. All shame, I come against the spirit of shame. You know, you may not want to cough because, well, somebody might think I've done that. Hey, you know, this is a place, be free. I command all shame to go in the name of Jesus. You have dignity and worth in Him. Don't hang on to your demons. Let your dignity go. You can get it back later. Heard that before. So all masturbation, go in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of frigidness in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of frigidness and fear of sex to go in Jesus' name. Come out of these women. Using sex as a weapon, come out. Sex as a bargaining chip, I command you to come out of these women in Jesus' name. All sex is self-worship, I command you to come off of these women in Jesus' name. All prostitution, spirits of adulterers and whoredom, I break the whore's forehead off of these women in Jesus' name. All whoredom, come out in Jesus' name. I command the spirits of sex slave to come out in Jesus' name. All sex is a drug, come out in Jesus' name. An addiction to sex, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. All sexual addiction. Spirits of rape, I command the spirit of rape to come out in Jesus' name. All rape, go in Jesus' name. All codependency in Jesus' name. Being addicted to another person in Jesus' name, I command you out. All codependency, come out in the name of Jesus. We are supposed to depend on God. All spirits that would come in through reading those romance novels in the name of Jesus. Any ungodly soul ties with any movie stars or movie characters or book people, in the name of Jesus, I command it out. I break off all vampire spirits in Jesus' name. I command them out in the name of Jesus. All incest, you go in Jesus' name. We break that 10-generational curse off of these women. I command you out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. I break off the bastard curse off of these women in Jesus' name. Command that to come out in Jesus' name. Loose these women. All bestiality in the name of Jesus. I command out the spirits of bestiality, and I didn't bring this up, but they make condoms out of sheepskin. So any spirits that came in through having sex with a condom that's made out of sheepskin and bestiality would have been opened up, I command that out in the name of Jesus. All bestiality go in Jesus' name. All child abuse in the name of Jesus. I command out child abuse. Any abuse done to these women or playing with their babies while they're changing the diapers, I command that out in the name of Jesus. All child abuse, go in Jesus' name. The spirit of Molech, I break off Molech off of these women. And abortion, come out in Jesus' name. I command you to loose these women. Lord, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit, your anointing. Break the yoke. All abortion. I come against the queen of the coast, every mermaid spirit. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. Loose these women, all mermaid spirits. All mermaid spirits, come out. We pull off your suction cups in Jesus' name. We break those suction cups hold in Jesus' name. Command it to come out. All seduction, every spirit of seduction in the name of Jesus, come out. Whether we've been seduced or whether by Prince Charming, or whether we are trying to seduce Prince Charming, I command those seducing spirits to go in the name of Jesus. All seduction, all promiscuity, go in the name of Jesus. All flirts, I command the spirit of the flirt to come out of these women in Jesus' name. All flirting spirits in Jesus' name. I come against the sexual repression. Lord, you have made each one of these women a beautiful sexual creation. I just come against that spirit that would try to hide their sexuality, that would pervert it, that would keep them repressed, and not being able to be fully the women of God that you created them to be. I break the spirit of sexual repression and the fear of sex off of them in Jesus' name. I break that fear of sex in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just come and I break the soul ties between any of these women and anybody who's tried to sexually control them in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you fight for these women. You loose them from these, from this control in Jesus' name. We cut off that sexual controlling spirit, all witchcraft and mind control that would try to come upon them in Jesus' name. You women are not sexual objects. You were not created for men's sexual pleasure. That is not your purpose in this life. That is not why God created you. And I break that lie off these women in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of self-abuse, all self-hatred, self-mutilation, all self-abuse. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Loose these women. Loose these precious daughters of God. All self-hatred go in Jesus' name. All masochistic spirits. All sadistic spirits. All that love of pain, trying to numb themselves or trying to cause a different kind of pain to deal with the hurt, the deep hurt. All masochism and sadism come out. All bondage and torture. All spirits of kinky sex in Jesus' name. Every kinky spirit. In Jesus' name, come out. All torture, all sexual torture in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Again, I come against all self-hatred in Jesus' name. I bless these women's sexuality. I bless that part of who they are. They are fearfully and wonderfully made, every part of them. I come against all self-hatred, all anorexia, all gluttony, all self-uglifying spirits in the name of Jesus. I break that spirit of ugly, that hiding away, trying to keep men from being attracted to them. We break that power in the name of Jesus. all narcissism and self-love, we command you to go in Jesus' name. All nymphomania and fetishes, come out in the name of Jesus. The catamite spirit, in the name of Jesus, command you to go. Lord, for your anointing to come, break the yoke. Break the yoke. Lord, I just ask for angels to come. Every one of these spirits that was named and told to leave, we command you to go. And Father, I ask for your angels to go and to carry out this word. That you would fight for these women. Come against every stubborn spirit in the name of Jesus. Pour out your love, Lord. Your grace, your forgiveness. Set these captives free. Your grace, your love, your forgiveness. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Speak acceptance, honor. Yes, yes. Wash it away in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called out and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth. And will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For the Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Lord, I ask this for each one of these women here today. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes. Pour out your love, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your love. Father, I ask that you reveal your love to these women like they have never known it before. Pour out your love, your grace. Father, your just your total, how much you love them, Father. You are madly in love with them, Lord. Let them have a revelation of that. Let them see just how much you love them. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. All healing. Yes, yes. I speak healing.
And let him go.
Yes.
Let him go. Yes.
In Jesus' name. Speak beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. In Jesus' name. Yes, yes. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you, God, for your goodness, for your love for each one of these women. I thank you, Lord. Judge the enemy harshly. Judge the enemy harshly, Father. Come against these ones that are stubborn and not wanting to leave. We burn you with a fire. Burn you. We send the hornets of heaven after you and drive you out. We tell you, you will go. You will no longer torment these women in the name of Jesus. You will no longer torment these women. Today you are served your notice and you will go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I thank you for the angels that are fighting for them. We haul these things off in the chains. Lord, just send your angels to bind these things with chains and we haul them off to the pit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you torment them as much as they've tormented these women, Lord, for eternity. In Jesus' name, loose these women. Loose them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, all loneliness. All loneliness in Jesus' name. All rejection in the name of Jesus. All rejection, all loneliness, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of abandonment, go in Jesus' name. All abandonment, go, Jesus' name. You are beloved of the Lord, adopted by Him, betrothed to the God of the universe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fight for these women. In the name of Jesus, we break the spirits of bondage in Jesus' name. We break the bondage in the name of Jesus. Every cord of bondage in Jesus' name. Loose these women. Let them go. In Jesus' name, we break off the bondage. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The love of the Father drive you out. The love of the Father. Yes. We call back these women's souls from wherever they've been taken in the name of Jesus, Lord. You said you lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. I speak restoration. Restoration to these women. Thank you, Lord. Restore what the enemy has stolen with the cankerworm, the palmer worm, every bit, Lord. The enemy's been caught, Lord. Make him repay. Restore. Double honor for their shame. Double honor for their shame. Double honor for their shame. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful to complete the work that you've started here. Lord, that you will not leave these women. You will never forsake them. That you love them beyond what they can imagine, Lord. And that you said you will never leave them. You will never forsake them. So, Lord, I just ask that you continue this work. Lord, I ask that you hold on to them. Lord, I don't know what situations they have to go back to. But, Lord, I ask that you protect them. Teach their hands to war. Teach their fingers to do battle. I read a quote. It said, nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt. I could be wrong. Was that her? She said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. You have a right when that thing comes to scream and say, no, get away from me, Satan. You have no right to me, no heritage, no memorial. I am a daughter of the King. That is who you are. You are worth the blood of Jesus. You are worth this universe. He died to set you free because he wants to be with you forever. He is madly in love with you and he wants to be with you forever. That's your happily ever after that Cinderella will never have. I thank you, Lord, for each one of these women here, for the gifts, for the talents, for the beauty that you've placed in each one. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that as they continue on the rest of this camp meeting and as they go home, Lord, that you would water that you would refresh that, Lord, that you would lead them into that and that they would be vessels of your presence wherever they go. Lord, that they would carry your scent. They would carry your perfume. Lord, that people would know they are different because they've been with you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for each one of them, for the blessing and the privilege, Lord, of being able to pray for each one of them, for the treasure that each one is. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I ask, Lord, that you just continue the work that you've started. I speak blessing and honor and grace to each one of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for letting me pray for you. God is so good. God is so good.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.